morning, everyone. Again, glad to see you this morning. Glad that God has blessed us to make it through another week with its ups and downs, its highs and lows. And we know that we serve a just God. We know that none of us deserve to be here for another day, not another minute that we deserve to be on this earth. But yet and still, God saw fit to allow us to breathe his air, to eat his food, to drink his water, to wear his clothes, to drive his car, to look at his creation, and to sit in his pews, and all the other things that he allows us to do. We ought to be thankful for all the things that we do. And those moments sometime when we throw our own self-pity parties, those moments sometime when we have the blahs or the blues, all we really need to do sometime is just stop and learn to count our blessings. I promise you, there'll be more than the things that we're dealing with. I want to detour for a little bit this morning. I got to finish my series. I'm still dealing with the 7 days that changed the world, but I want to detour a little bit this time. And why am I doing that? Because sometimes we just have to just spend on my heart just to maybe just really help some folks who are really dealing with some hard times in life. A lot of folks that I know, a lot of folks that I don't know, have really been dealing with some hard situations in life. You know, life has a way of just, seems like just eating away at you a little bit at a time, doesn't it? I'm reminded of, you know, they don't have them too much anymore. You know, you go to those things, they used to have them a lot of stairs. I think, matter of fact, Stanley County is one of the only ones that I know of that still have those things called demolition derbies. You don't know what else. When I was younger, they used to have them a lot of times when I grew up. I grew up in just one county over, Union County. I call it Onion County. You know, I mispronounced it just to be funny a little bit. But you didn't see them anymore. And the thing that usually would just amaze you is how that car just crept across the line at the end, how banged up it used to be. You know, you'd have one door crushed in or the hood crushed in, and you have the car wobbling because it'd be banged up, and usually it was the last one standing. You notice sometimes how life does that. Sometimes you're just kind of just making it through life. There's some periods in your life when you're truly just banged up, and so there's some things that happen to us in our life that seem to just take chunks out of us. Things like death. You know, death takes a chunk out of us every now and then. Things like job loss. Things like illness. Things like just hard times just seem to just take a chunk out of us every now and then. And it seems like we walk through life and we just limp through life from time to time. So we're going to talk about a situation this morning about a man in John chapter 5 who had an illness for 38 years. 38 years he was lame. But then he met somebody who could heal him. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to begin at verse number 1. John chapter 5, we're going to begin at verse number 1. And I'm going to read and stop at verse number 8. I'm going to meander through my lesson through a lot of this chapter of John chapter 5. But I'm going to stop at verse number 8. Now, from time to time, we get tired. From time to time, we look at us, and it seems like we got more pieces missing. We got more pieces broken in our life than we got whole. And if that happened to you, hadn't happened to you yet, all I got to say is keep living. You don't have to do anything special except just keep living. And it says this, beginning at the Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning of verse 1, it says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. Now I'm going to cover 4 points in here that maybe I'll help somebody today. There's 4 things I want to cover that maybe just sometimes we'll realize in our own life. Point number one is, oftentimes we have unrealized help from God in any situation in our life. Sometimes we forget the undeniable power of God in our lives. Sometimes we realize that we're going to have some unjustified criticism. And then we have to understand that sometimes we have to live and move in unapologetic confirmation in God's blessings in our life. All were an effort to show who truly God is and what he can truly do in our lives. Think about that for a moment. Here was a man who had been crippled, lame for 38 years. And Christ asked him one question. Do you want to be made whole? One question. Do you want to be made whole? Now, he's asking the same question today. But before you answer that question, I don't want us to give the same answer to the question that the lame man gave. But before we get to the answer he gave, I want us to talk about this pool of Bethsaida. So the first thing we're going to talk about is what kind of place was this pool of Bethsaida in? It was a place of sickness, depression, and despair. You ever been there before? And usually, they come with a multitude of numbers. See, those three things don't travel by themselves. Sickness, depression, and despair always have company. You can always find somebody to travel with in sickness, depression, and despair. All you have to do sometimes is open up your mouth. All you have to do sometimes is this. Start talking about your problems. All you have to do sometimes is start telling folks what a hard time you're having. And see how many folks agree with you. See how many folks pile on their problems on you. Sometimes all you have to do in a circle or maybe in a setting is walk in the door and ask certain people how their day is going. And they will tell you from A to Z everything that's wrong with them. Now, I'm not saying that that's always wrong, but I'm sometimes saying you got to be careful about even asking that question sometimes in certain circles. Because they will tell you everything that's wrong with them from A to Z. You were feeling good before you went and talked to this person. You was all right with them. Now, I'm not saying you minimize it. I'm not saying not to listen. But I'm also saying sometimes you got to be careful who you lend your ears to. You have to. Because they will steal your joy and peace. Because nothing comes out of their mouth but misery, sickness, depression, and despair. And we all deal with them. We all have those issues. So yes, we're to listen to them sometimes. But you can always find company. That train is always full. It's always full. So we have to be crowded there. It was also near the sheep market, and you know if you ever been around animals and pens, it didn't smell very well either. Oftentimes, places like that don't smell very well. So it was in a bad part of place. It was full of sickness and despair, and it didn't smell well. There was also a large area because it had 5 porches, 5 large steps. So these places were full of people. There was also a great multitude of people there. And they were waiting on this one instant for this angel to come down this one particular time to trouble the waters. And then there was a mad rush. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine that was your only hope? Can you imagine? Now, you're talking about folks waiting outside for Black Friday. You're talking about folks waiting in line and posting up in campers and tents and all those other things. To get the newest iPhone, to get the newest PlayStation or whatever. You talking about that happening then, imagine multiplying it in your feeble mind as much as you can. Because that was the only, they thought that was the only chance of getting healthy. They thought that was the only chance of getting better. But why had they never heard of a man named Jesus? See, the problem is, oftentimes we look for healing. We look for peace. We look for joy in the wrong places. Compare that to the world today. Compare a sick, distressed, depressed world looking for a Savior in a place that where there is no Savior. Compare that to a world looking for healing in a place where there is no healing. Compare that to a world looking for an answer to depression and anxiety in a place or in something where there is no relief. See, when you do that, you won't even realize when Jesus is talking to you. He was so set on this that he didn't realize who asked him that question. See, sometimes your mind is so gone, it's so wrapped up in what you're dealing with that you don't even read, you don't even realize when God is speaking to you through his word. Sometimes you are wrapped up in finding your own solutions. Sometimes you are so wrapped up in your own problems. Sometimes you are wrapped up in your own distress, your own stress, your own issues, that when God speaks to you through his word, it flies right over your head. You don't get it. Here's a man who's been dealing with this problem. Now notice his answer. Anybody who would have realized who was speaking to him would have said, "Yes, Lord." But notice what the man says in verse number 7. He says this, "Sir, I have nobody to help me." What do you mean you don't have anybody to help you? What you talking about? What did he miss? See, one of the problems is that we don't understand that that's unrealized help that we have with us. He forgot that. What do you mean that you don't have anybody to help you? Where'd that come from? Nobody but the enemy. See, that's what the enemy wants us to think. You can't do this. There's nobody to help you. You're going to be lame for the rest of your life. You can't handle this problem. That's what he wants us to think. That's what he focuses your mind on. You and the problem before you. You and whatever you're dealing with. That's how he gets us. And what happens with that is we sink lower and lower and lower into depression, into despair, into misery, and to anxiety. That's how he gets us. So we don't even hear Jesus saying, "Do you want to be made whole?" Because the first thing he throws up is an excuse. We do the same thing. Christ didn't ask that man whether any man could help him. Christ asked him one question. "Do you want to be made whole?" One word answer would have been sufficient. But that's not what he got. He says, "I ain't got nobody to help me. When the water's troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another step of down before me." So not only does he say nobody's helping me, then he says this: "Then life ain't fair." What? First of all, ain't nobody to help me. Then because of my condition, life's not fair. Now, I'm telling this because we're helping one another. See, what happens is when we start to say these things, we lose sight of what God says. When these two things start to pop up in our thought life, we lose sight of what the Bible says. "I ain't got nobody to help me, and life's not fair." This is what happens. This is what this man said. And all Christ asked him was, "Do you want to be made whole?" He didn't ask for excuses. He just asked for belief. He didn't ask him to work out the details. See, this man was still thinking about how he was going to get into the pool and beat everybody else there. Maybe, just maybe, Christ is going to heal him aside or apart from this pool. Maybe, just maybe, Christ is going to say, "You don't even have to get wet this time." Maybe, just maybe, he was going to tell him what he told him in verse number 8. See, one of the things we have to learn to do is to have faith and leave the details to Jesus. When we begin to do that, we really do begin to live and operate by our faith. That's what it means in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we're supposed to operate as Christians. But see, we walk by faith, we start looking around and saying, ain't nobody here to help me. We start saying things like this, well, life ain't fair. But see, when you look around and you're looking and walking by sight, it looks like it's not fair. It looks like the deck is stacked against you. It looks like your circumstances is not going to change. Then you start to, that's evidence that you're walking by sight and not by faith. That's your proof, right? If you ever want to know, that's your proof. If you ever want to run that through the test, that's your proof. That's not what he asked him. Unrealized help. That was a great multitude. He didn't even realize who was on his side. He didn't even realize who was talking to him. But we do the same thing. All he was considering was getting into the water. Jesus found a man who was sick for 38 years. Many today want to believe they can be healed from their issues, but they want to be healed in some other way. And all they see before them is problems. All they see before them is mountains. They're never able to see the mountain moving. They're never able to see somebody who's bigger than the problem. They're never able to see somebody who says, there's nothing too hard for me.
Right.
And if you're never able to see that, you're going to still be lame. You're still going to be laying there. That's the difference. Did not realize that God in the flesh was the one who asked him the question. The sick person said, I ain't got nobody to help me. Many today are saying the same thing. God is saying today, do you want to be made whole? Now, before you answer that question, how many excuses have you given? How many times have you begun to tell him your problems like he don't know? Like he don't know your circumstances. Like you somehow going to catch him off guard when you start telling him your problems. And your circumstances. And your issues. You're not going to surprise him. He knows all those things before you ask him, because in this particular passage he says he knew this man had already been paralyzed for a long time. Before he even asked him the question, he knew the truth, just like he knows about us. Whatever you're dealing with, God already knows. Whatever problem that you think you're going to surprise him with, that you think he can't handle, he already knows it. So if he's asking you that question, he must mean that he ain't worried about your problems, your situations and circumstances. He's not worried about him. You are. That's what he's telling you. That's what he was telling this lame man. But then he says something different that we don't like to do. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Which means we got something to do in this as well. What if this man never rose, never took up his bed, and never walked? He still would have been lame. Just that simple. He had to act on what God's word said. Because many of us would have been like this. What you mean? You know, Lord, did you hear what I said? I said, Lord, I hadn't walked in 38 years. You mean these old little two broke matchsticks supposed to get up? Do I got to go to the gym first? Do I got to go down here to the Wild Planet Fitness? Do I got to go to Gold's Gym and work out? Do I got to get a physical therapy? That's not what he said. He said, get up, take up your bed, which means that you ain't got no business going back there. Don't look back. You are healed completely at my word and move on. Don't look back. Which means is he got no business going back talking about what he did 38 years ago and how long he was paralyzed. Stop looking back at your past, talking about what you went through and all the bad stuff that happened to you. When God heals you, that means that door's supposed to be closed. Stop it. You ain't doing nothing but crucifying and tearing yourself up, torturing yourself. This man was not supposed to look back. That's why he told him to take up his bed. There's three things that we do when God blesses us and heals us. We're supposed to rise, take up our bed to make sure we don't go back or look back, and walk forward. If we don't, we're going to still remain lame. The problem is when God blesses us and heals us, we still looking back at the bed. And when you look back at the bed, all you're going to think about is all the times, all them times that somebody passed you over. All them times you was laying there and didn't nobody help you. And what it's going to do is, it's going to leave you trapped back before you was healed. That's what's going to happen. That's why Christ gave him three specific demands. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. Simple. He did the rest. He did the healing. All he had to do was act on it. That's what God has for us. Undeniable power. Christ tells this man to do this. There is no evidence that the man even realized at this point who Jesus was. Which means that you don't even have to have Jesus completely figured out to experience some things that God has for us. You just have to believe. If he really wanted to be healed, if he really wanted to be healed like he said he did, he would have listened. The problem is, most of us, some of us, I ain't going to say most, some of us don't want to be healed. We just want to continue to complain. Because it's comfortable to us, see? Feels good. That's how we've been operating. That's how we get attention. See, that's what happens. That's how people know me. Because I'm good at complaining about my problems, situations, circumstances. Woe is me, because everybody know. And people look at me and give me sympathy. And that's great, because I get attention. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. That's what he said. Undeniable power. But guess what? God knows people, right? Is everybody going to be happy? Absolutely not. Point number three. Point number one was what? Unrealized help. Point number two was power, undeniable power. Point number three is unjustified criticism. Now, if you read a little later on in this particular chapter, we see he goes, he's telling folks he's happy. He's great. He's so excited. He's so excited that he's able to walk. And then he runs into some Pharisees. Don't y'all know when God does some stuff for you, you're going to run some people that ain't happy for you? Do you know that right up front? I'm telling you that right now, just in case you didn't know. You're going to run into some folks who just don't like you and look at you and like, why are you walking? Why God bless you? What makes you special? You ain't nobody. All kind of stuff they're going to tell you. The Jews quickly criticized the man for picking up his bed on the Sabbath. Now, ain't that something? Because they were not lords of the Sabbath, but they thought they were. Per Pharisees, notice I said per Pharisees, not per God who created the Sabbath and was Lord of the Sabbath as well. Jesus told them that already. They were working. They accused this man of breaking the law of the Sabbath by picking his bed up. What about the fact this man was healed? So that's what happens sometimes when you lose sight of what's most important. After all those years of being paralyzed, the first thing this man heard from some folks who should have been happy for him was who healed you and who told you to pick that bed up. That's a shame, but that's reality, isn't it? Who healed you and who told you to pick that bed up on the Sabbath? That's what he ran into. You talking about a joy kill. See, we as Christians got to be careful of that. Somebody who's been healed of sins, who's been maybe had their life turned around and they're so glad that God has changed their life.
Right.
And oftentimes the first people to pour water on it is Christians.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you the truth because I'm big enough to fight off about two or three of you. Be careful about that. We sometimes display the same apathy towards those, many of those who've been healed from the disease of sin and who God has blessed. The healed man explains his actions and reasons for doing so. He told them why he was carrying his bed, that he had been healed. And all they kept asking was, who told you to pick this bed up? Who told you to pick it up? That's all I want to know. I know you're healing all that la-di-da-di stuff. Yeah, great. Yah-rah-rah. et cetera, et cetera. But who told you to pick this bed up? The man had disobeyed man-made laws, not God's laws, man-made laws. John 5:16 bears witness to it. They wanted to persecute and kill Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. We need to avoid judging others when we ourselves have failed to help in the healing process. If we fail them, our attitude should be humble, not judgmental. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh to them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite heart." What is our attitude when good things happen to other people? What is our attitude? We ought to be the biggest cheerleaders for folks when good things happen to them. But I'm afraid that's not always the case. What are our true motives in dealing with each other? And then the last one, number four, as I bring this lesson in for a close, is unapologetic confirmation. Without apology, Jesus confirms the Jews' accusations. See, one of the things that we need to do, and I say this from time to time, is we never, ever should apologize for the gospel. I don't care what kind of condemnation it brings. I don't care who it makes mad. I don't care if they run us in the catacombs again in society. We should never apologize for Jesus and the gospel. Let me say it again, because they're making it hard for us. Even our beloved United States. Boy, they're trying everything they can, aren't they? And then some. They're calling us everything, bigots, small-minded, whatever you term they want to throw at you. And all we're doing is standing for God. Mention things like abortion. Mention things like same-sex marriage and see how many circles you get run out of. You about to get beat up. You about to lose some friends real quick. You about to lose some. How dare you? What's wrong with you? You done lost your rabbit mind. I've been hanging around Grady too much. See, Grady rubbing off on me. But they're going to tell you that. And then they're going to start there. Because then they're going to start hitting below the belt and start defaming your character and calling you all kind of stuff. Does that mean we should change what we say? Absolutely not. And it hurts me to my heart when folks stand up on that. And because they get a little bit of criticism, because the folks don't like them, they start backing down and apologizing. Why? Why? Jesus didn't. If it's right, it's right. It's wrong, it's wrong. But what? See, what happens is we'd rather offend God than men. That's not what the apostles did. And guess what? Newsflash, the ending wasn't good for them, but they weren't worried about it, were they? 11 out of 12 died a martyr's death. And it may come to that for us too. Are you willing and are you ready? And it may not be a physical death. You may not be invited to many parties anymore. They may unfriend you on Facebook. Y'all not worried about that, are you? Please tell me you're not. You go from 2,000 friends to 200. Please don't tell me you are worried about that. Come on now. I know my people not worried about that. I unfollow you on Twitter, whatever it is, whatever they call it. Y'all not worried about that, are you? Okay, I see a bunch of heads shaking. Please don't worry about that. Y'all not losing any sleep over that. I know my people are not. But I'm telling you, now more than ever, we need to stand for the things of God. Whatever the Bible says, stand for it. He needs it. Christ needs us more than ever. It's unpopular, yes it is. They'll call you everything, but there's nothing new. These same folks are calling, imagine this now. Our Lord and Savior, they call him Beelzebub, leader of the demons. How in the, you talking about somebody who was the exact opposite? Now, I know sometimes they can throw that term at us because we sin too, right? Yeah. I can understand that throwing it at Curtis every now and then because I'm not perfect. But Jesus, Jesus, come on now. If anybody didn't deserve that, it was Christ. So what's going to happen? So in closing, Christ stood on what he said. He said, "I'm Lord of the Sabbath." And yes, I did it. Because it was not breaking the law. He gave us an example. So in closing, what about us today? Christ is asking us today, do you want to be made whole? That's the question he's asking us today. Today, Stop with the excuses. He know your situation. Don't you understand that whatever we're dealing with, he's more than able? Stop selling him short. Stop playing him cheap. Because that's what happens when we start with the excuses. What man can do. Well, you see, nobody was able to help me. Poor lame man, 38 years, nobody helped him. See, he didn't even realize who he was talking to. We do the same thing in our prayer life. We do the same thing, and we say these things in our thought life. We do the same thing. And then what happens is that we start to pound on it. Well, you see what? Because nobody helped me. You know, life ain't fair. It's fair. No, everybody can say that. But if that's all you're going to ever say, you'll never realize how powerful God is in your life. You'll never realize that his power is limitless. And all he has to do, think about this now, all he has to do is speak to your situation, and it changes instantly. Because as I said before in wrapping up, this man didn't have to go to nobody's rehab. He didn't have to go to no physical therapy. He didn't have to go to Gold's Gym and hit the weights and hit them leg days extra hard. Christ told him three things, right? Rise, take up your bed, and walk. He's saying the same thing to you and I. You can rise over your problems because he said so. Take up your bed so that you won't look back and go back, and walk forward to a new future. Don't look back because God has healed you. What must we do to be saved today? He said the same thing about a sinful past. You may say, well, Brother Parker, you don't understand my... I don't need to understand your past. I don't need to understand every sin you did because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. And newsflash, there is no such thing as big sins and little sins. God counts them all the same. But you don't understand what I did sin too. And I'm forgiven. And you can be too. Sin is sin. We hear what God's word says. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We then believe what we have heard. Mark 16 and 16. Then we repent of our sin, which means that sooner or later, you got to stop. As I talked about Wednesday night, when is enough enough? You got to tap out and give it over. Humble yourselves and give it to him. Stop playing games. And then confess. Newsflash again. You're going to confess it one day or the other. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. It's going to happen. And then be baptized. Why? Because he said it. Why? Because that is your way. Why? Because Peter said, baptism now doth also save us. Now you can balk at it. And you can tear out your Bible all you want to. It's still going to be your entrance into the body. Because that's what it says. We are baptized into Christ. So if you've not been baptized into Christ, how can you truthfully and rightfully call yourself a Christian? You can't, according to Scripture. And then live faithfully unto death. But then what? You may say, I messed up. Well, guess what? I messed up too. So that's why God's given us two laws of pardon, which is repentance. And the blood of Christ covers those things while we continue to walk with them and gives us a chance to make heaven our home. And if we continue to do those things and walk with them, even though we stumble, we have a great chance of making heaven our home. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer. We ask you to please come forward as we sing a verse of 596.